All right, welcome back to SecurityGuyTV.com at Black Hat 2017. And who's my next contestant on the show here?
Well, my name is Israel Barak, Chief Information Security Officer at Cybereason.
Now, it's CYBEREASON.com, only one R.
Yes.
And that's for my podcast listeners, okay? Make sure you get that guy's right. But drop the podcast, go to livestream.com and watch us as well. Now, one of my favorite products, you've been on the show, I think three times you guys have been on the show. Black Hat, yes. A couple kind of dial-ins.
Yes.
So tell everybody what Cybereason does.
Well, Cybereason focuses on the enabling our enterprise, medium, and large enterprise customers to detect, understand, and respond to advanced cyber attacks.
And how do you guys do that?
Well, first of all, we want to ensure that they have visibility into everything that's happening in their network. So we draw information off of every endpoint, workstations, servers, right? And we compile from that information this sort of situational awareness, this sort of graph that allows them to understand what is happening, query that information, and drill down into it, right? Based off of that, we identify patterns that are indicative of an attack lifecycle stages, and then we alert security analysts to those indications so they can both understand what is happening and drill down into that information to understand the full extent of the incident before they actually roll out a response strategy.
Now, one of the arguments we hear is that there's too much data. That's why I'm outsourcing it, because I don't want to look at it. I can't look at it. I don't have time to look at it. You guys obviously focus on that, and you do have the time to look at it. But how do you overcome the challenge of it being too much data, and how do you pull out the bits and pieces that are valid out of all that?
So different type of enterprises have a different approach to how they want to handle their data. When you're looking at medium-sized organizations, there's obviously a lot of value in automating the processing and the analysis of the data and not necessarily presenting the data in its raw state, right? Alert them to those issues that really require their immediate attention and give them an ability to query the data pieces that are relevant to address those incidents. But when you go to larger and more sophisticated organizations, they want to have that ability to actually get that direct access to the data itself. They already have a lot of proprietary analytics in place, and the ability to add the data that we produce to this large pool of data that they have so they can augment what they have with what we have and enhance their proprietary analytics is something that is going to be critical for them. So as on that scale between, you know, smaller businesses or medium-sized businesses and very large businesses, there's a very different approach to how they want to see this big data pool being used.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So once the enterprises have this data and their CISO teams review it, at what point do you come back in and help them with the larger data set? And also, do you take those data sets that you have helped to compile and analyze across clients to find sources of hackers and criminal activity, for example?
Yes. So we offer the capability, both as a capability that organization can use to enable their internal security operations center personnel, but also as a managed service. So based off of those detections, we can help them further investigate what the implications of those detections are, as well as to understand the type of response strategy that they need to roll out.
Now, do you guys act like a filter? Does Cybereason sit in front of their firewall and catch things before it gets there? Or are you inside their organization?
So we're actually based off on the endpoints themselves.
Oh,
so
the endpoints themselves. You did say that. I'm sorry.
Servers.
Yeah.
And that's where we really draw that information
okay.
for. And that's where we're able to roll out those containment procedures on.
Now, do you have any behavioral analytics in those endpoints?
Of course. The actual analytics happens at the center, right? So where all the data is collected into. On the endpoints, we basically just collect the right information, cross-correlated across the entire enterprise, and then analyze that in a centralized location that is obviously on a per-customer basis to identify those behavioral patterns, right? So when you look at an attack lifecycle, typically an attacker would go through multiple steps, right? They would obviously try to penetrate an environment, escalate their privileges, right? So they can assume more capabilities in the network. They would try to make sure that they're persistent in the environment, right? So a restart of a random machine doesn't kill an operation. They would try to move in the environment towards their target while maintaining this sort of constant command and control communication. All these stages, right, can be characterized with certain behavioral indicators. And that's what we're why we're analyzing that data and what we're trying to achieve by analyzing that data. Indications that we're looking at a specific step in a cyber operation provide that as a lead to security analysts and then allow them to start pulling on that thread to understand what happened before and after the full extent of the incident before they roll out a response strategy.
Now, did I remember correctly, was this technology developed out of the military? Was it Israeli military or Mossad or something, right? It came from somewhere.
You're right. I think you you know a lot more about cyber reason than you know. Obviously,
well, listen, Israel comes up with amazing solutions for things. Why? Because they're constantly being attacked. It just makes sense, right?
You know, a lot of the folks, especially the folks that founded Cyber Reason, come from the offensive cyber side of the business.
Oh, offensive. Okay, yeah, makes sense. Yeah,
and when you're part of that aspect of the ecosystem, you're continuously baffled as to why it is so easy for you to do what you do.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah.
It is essentially that way, because when you're on that side of the business, on the offensive side of business, typically your success rate is very close to 100%. And you're continuously baffled by, why is that? I mean, why do my tactics, capabilities keep working so well, and I'm not seeing any dramatic change on the victim's side in terms of their capability to mitigate those risks that I'm presenting?
Shut you down, shut down the endpoint device and stop you in your tracks.
Yes. But at some point you realize that that is because a lot of security strategies are based off of IT security controls. They're trying to control a risk as opposed to disrupt an attack. Right. And so in many cases, it takes people that come from that side of the equation to understand what it takes, not necessarily to secure an organization, but to disrupt the cyber operation that's in process.
I've never asked this question, but
is this a SecurityGuyTV.com exclusive?
Yes, it is.
OK, go.
I've never asked this question before, but do these attacks tend to be during the off hours? Let's say a company in the United States operates only from a typical 8 to 6 p.m. So they're going to go in between like 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. when people are likely not online and won't detect them.
So an attack by itself, an operation by itself, is something that can be a pretty lengthy process. It can take weeks, it can take months, or it can even take more than that. It can happen across a long period of time, whether it's off hours or kind of, you know, peak hours. But certain activities that are part of an operation can be adjusted in a way that would reduce risks of detection or exposure.
Right.
So, for example, issues like command control communication, right? In some cases, you'd prefer, for example, to have command control communication done when your victim machines is outside of the enterprise network. And let's say using a Wi-Fi network in a coffee shop and is not being necessarily protected by the organizational security controls, and the traffic's not necessarily being audited and inspected by the enterprise outgoing traffic inspection controls, right? So certain aspects of an operation can be tuned, right, to reduce detection and exposure risks on the victim side. Yes.
So they, for example, the CFO is on a business trip, stops into Starbucks at the airport. That would be the opportune time to grab the credentials, including the password.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yes. Now, what keeps you up at night? What are you worried about?
I think I'm still worried, even though we're trying to, a lot of organizations already understand that difference between IT security and cybersecurity, between mitigating risks, siloed risks, and disrupting advanced cyber operations. I think we're still a long way before, you know, we actually see this disruptive technology being widespread in the market. And I think that gap still puts us as an industry in a position where the vast majority of the organizations are still very susceptible to an advanced cyber operation. And I think that is one of the things that I try to work both nights and days to change.
You're not feeling so good right now, are you?
I'm neutral, which is better than feeling bad. No, because I know these. Listen, he's not going to tell me who these secret squirrels are working behind the scenes, but I know those guys know what they're doing, right? So I do feel.
Absolutely.
I'm going to change that to I feel good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Israel Barak, thanks for coming on SecurityGuideTV.com.
Thank you so much.
Cyber Reason, SYBEREASON, 1R, cyberreason.com, at Black Hat 2017, and SecurityGuideTV.com. Thanks.
Thank you.